Welcome to another episode of Kentucky Football Carpool Show. I'm Nick.
I'm Mike.
I'm Chris.
All right. Well, game one, finally here. We've been waiting so long for it.
So excited.
Yeah, me too. I was telling Mike earlier this week, well, I guess it was yesterday, that I finally was able to see that they made a time for the catwalk. Now, me and Mike never go to the catwalk unless it's a night game, but it's nice to see that that's back, right? That
yep.
Kind of getting back into normal. Of course, since we've done all this, we found out that we're not having any kind of no COVID card, anything like that. It's just going to be go to the games. If you're in crowded areas, wear your mask. If you're not, then you don't have to. Anytime you're inside, you're going to wear a mask and like stuff like that. But we're going to have full capacity. Nothing's going to change there. Was that a surprise to any one of you all?
No, not to me. I think everybody's trying to get back open.
I think it was. Go ahead, Chris.
It is a surprise. I think everybody, especially in states like Kentucky, are looking for an excuse to close everything down again.
I don't disagree. I don't know if they'll make it the whole season, but it definitely feels like the first two games will be full capacity, and we'll see what goes from there. I'm going to be there. I know Mike will be there. I think tomorrow, Saturday's crowd will be, and this is just me guessing. I don't know what the numbers are. I would think it's probably going to be around 45,000, 50,000. I doubt it's going to be full capacity. I'm just from previous years, and I get it that it's you know, everyone's been away from football for a whole year. But from my experience, a noon game, the very first game against an 0-10 team from the previous year, only draws about 70-80% crowd.
Yeah, especially a noon game, those never bring in full.
And it's usually hot, and the seats get hot, but it seems like it's going to be a really good day on Saturday, 79 to 80 degrees.
A lot like it was today, which was beautiful.
Yeah, agreed. Me and Mike went to a game, not last year, but the year before that. What was it, like 90 degrees out there, Mike? The seats were hot. You couldn't touch the seats.
Burns on my back from the metal bleachers. And I was like walking like the mile back to the car. I was like, never again, dude.
Oh, it was terrible. It was a hot game, that's for sure. But with that said, we also had like five rainy games that whole season, so it was kind of a weird year anyways.
I take the rain over that 90-degree day.
Oh, yeah. The rain was pretty cool, though, because, I mean, won that Louisville game. Oh, my God. That was running all over them.
It played in our favor, too.
I mean,
both quarterback, and it's like, all right, cool, perfect.
Now, before we get going on to our preview of our first game here against Louisiana Monroe, I will say it's a pretty big deal for Kentucky. I know for other teams, maybe not, but for Kentucky to have all six draftees get signed.
And oh, yeah, big time.
That is huge for our program.
And three free agents.
Yeah, well, there you go. But the thing is.
Really happy for is Asim Rose. AJ Rose, man.
Yes.
Man.
Great preseason.
Yes.
Damon Davis had an awesome offseason, and he's going to be the starter for the Redskins, but Washington football team. My bad.
Well, I call them Redskins too. Still, I can't help it. It's just like it's been hammered in my. I still call the Rams St. Louis.
I mean, it's still Commonwealth Stadium to me.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just like the it St. Louis Rams will always be St. Louis Rams to me. It's really hard for me to change that in my head. But that was a big deal, and I think the one that I'm most like proud of, I guess, is Phil Hoskins. I mean, what a big time. Yeah. Never thought he'd get drafted. So I hate to be that guy that I didn't think that. I mean, the guy didn't really show as much at Kentucky besides, you know, just being kind of that plug-in guy, nice step to the defensive line.
Rock solid.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, someone that you would see could go down as like a guy that is remembered as someone that came in when needed. And he made the team. He made the team. He got drafted. Obviously got drafted and then made the team. It's just big deal.
They're saying he's going to get a lot of rotation in there. I mean –
he's got a lot of length and stuff like that. I mean, that's what kind of the NFL
he's got a lot of quickness. Very athletic.
Yes.
He fits the modern day NFL defensive tackle.
Yes, I agree with Chris. And that was something that I didn't really think about for it happened, but he's got that body that they're looking for that they can really put weight on and stuff like that. He's real long. But the big thing about him too, he's a lot of experience. He's come with a lot of experience.
Yeah. 6 years in college.
Yes, and the leadership. I mean, guys call him a leader.
He's a good guy to have in your locker room.
Yes, I agree. And so that's the one that I'm most proud of. And obviously, everyone getting signed by their teams is awesome. Is a big deal for Kentucky. And like I said, I had to acknowledge that before we got into this. So, getting on to our to Louisiana Monroe. What does everyone know about Louisiana Monroe? Because I can start, but do you guys want to start?
So they have a couple big name coaches.
They do.
And but when I say big name, I mean there were big names like a decade plus ago.
One was the coach before Dabo Sweeney at Clemson, I believe, right? Terry Bowden.
Yeah, Terry Bowden, and then he's their head coach, and then Rich Rodriguez is their star-studded.
Yes, I mean, and actually a pretty. That's a pretty good coaching staff. Just with those two. This was 2000. This was 20 or 2008. This then had pretty damn good coaches.
Oh,
staff,
yeah.
Right.
Oh yeah.
But then again, I mean, Terry Bowden's going from what Akron. He won the MAC championship there. I mean, the guy he is a good coach.
Yeah.
I will say that, and they're so they're coached well, which is always something that you can't take for granted when you're playing as one. But the problem is with Louisiana Monroe. Is they have lost their quarterback. They lost a tight end that was very good. They're are in total rebuild mode, and we're talking rebuild mode for a school like Louisiana Monroe is bad football. That's about the easiest way I can put it. They did get a pretty big transfer in as quarterback. Does anyone know who their quarterback will probably be starting?
Not.
That has a name attached.
He wasn't very good at Arizona. It's Rhett Rodriguez, Rodriguez's son, and he didn't even start for his dad at Arizona.
Loser.
The one thing his dad said positive about him and Terry Bowden said positive about him is he knows the offense like the back of his hand. All right.
That's the one time he was ever positive to his son.
Yes, but he can run. And that's why he'll play. I mean, he'll play because he can run. If you ever watch Rich Rodriguez's offenses, anywhere he was at, you know, you talk about Shoeless Robinson up in Michigan. You talk about Pat White down in West Virginia. They can run. Their quarterbacks, they want them to run. And Kentucky, it's still to this day, they've gotten better, obviously, over the years. But still to this day, they have a difficult time with running quarterbacks. Now, do I think they'll have a difficult time with Louisiana Monroe? Probably not. But Louisiana Monroe does have something that's pretty strong. They have four starters coming back on the offensive line, correct?
Yeah, but they're all averaging 285. So
yeah, so old Kentucky, right?
Yeah, old Joker Kentucky Phillips, football. Kentucky.
Yes. But again, we're trying to grasp for. I mean, Louisiana Monroe is not a very good team,
dude. They're Terry Bowden in his press this week about the Kentucky game wasn't even as positive as you're being. Okay.
You know why? You know why? Because it is old. Does anyone know how historically bad their defense is? Which is going to be really good for Kentucky. Does anyone know what they averaged last year?
Like, you're talking about like points per game that they gave up? Or?
Yes, points per game and yards per game.
They gave up 70 points to Louisiana University. Yes. I didn't even know there was such a university.
Well, Louisiana University was ranked last year, so I will tell you that. They're ranked actually this year.
Oh, that's right. They changed. That's right.
Yeah, they're not.
They're the Raging Cajuns anymore. My bad. Yeah,
they're just Louisiana Raging Cajuns. They don't They leave the Raging Cajuns off. Just put another name. But they averaged. Their defense gave up 42 points per game last year.
Jeez.
They also gave up 465 yards per game last year. Good that was their averages.
Guess what they said? The strength of the defense is.
Secondary.
The three linebackers average 5'10".
Yes. Two of the linebackers combined for 110 tackles. I mean, it's kind of stuff that, I mean, like I said, this defense is very young. One of them was a freshman last year. So, again, they're in total rebuild mode.
So, you know what's going to happen this game? We're going to score a shit ton of points, and the fans are going to be like, holy shit, he's the greatest coordinator of all time, even though it's not a real test.
Well, I mean, the thing is, it is a good test for Kentucky. It's a good thing to get the offense together instead of getting it out there, because there's going to be a lot of cobwebs. These guys. That's why it's a good thing to have this kind of tune-up game, especially for Stoops' team for whatever reason. These tune-up games really help out Stoops' teams.
No, but I'm worried it's going to set an unrealistic expectation of the offense for the rest of the year after just one game.
Well, it might. But I think we're at the point with Kentucky football, and I didn't think I'd ever get to this point, where if Kentucky goes 8-4 this year, you should be disappointed.
Yep.
Oh, I'll absolutely be disappointed.
they nine should be the bar this year. Anything lower than that, that should be a disappointment. So when you say high expectations, I mean, that's probably the highest expectations Kentucky's. This is the point Kentucky's at that they've ever been.
Yep.
And it's because of depth. It's because of all the draft. We're getting people drafted. We talk about new offense coming in there. Got a really good offense coordinator across the board. Everyone loves that hire. And like I said, there should be high expectations. They should win that game on Saturday, 56-0.
Yeah, absolutely. That's
But
interesting stat here. Kentucky is -31 for this game. How many games have Mark Stoops' teams won by more than 31 points?
I'm trying to think here.
Two or three, not much.
I would say one or none.
Exactly one.
So I was gonna say it's not. I think the one was actually your wedding night, Mike. That team they played that night. It was a D2 school. It was
dumb because that was when Stevie Johnson had to come in after like being hurt.
Stevie Johnson?
Not Stevie Johnson.
Steven Johnson. You're right.
Yeah.
No.
Because they trailed that game. I remember like at my wedding reception about to leave early so I could go watch.
I think they won 45-14 is why I think it's that. They were down, like they had a crappy first quarter. But that was what year did you get married, Mike? 2016?
2016.
So I think that's the game. And I forget who their opponent was.
UT Martin in 2014, 59-14.
Oh, so I was wrong. 59-14, UT Martin. 2014, yes, huh?
Asshole.
Well, I was getting close there. I knew it was a D2 school. How about that? But no,
well,
I mean, this
is. Well, the team played my wedding, that was also UT Martin. So there's that.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. I'm glad you remember that. No, I think it's they should win by that much. I mean, we're talking about a big time offense. They come in, if they come in here and only score 21, they win 21-0. I'm going to be very disappointed.
Yeah,
given the numbers that they're having a whole new coaching staff there, and a young defense. I mean, it all bodes well for Kentucky, right? To have a big game, but it's, you know, it time will tell. Kentucky or Stoops' teams notoriously play down with their guys, right?
Since
I've been there, or since he's been there, I've always seen them play down for most of the opponents.
Yeah. I would be surprised. Well, actually, I'll just throw this out there. Over-under passes thrown for Kentucky for this game.
I would think they're probably going to air it out 40 times.
I was going to say, oh my God.
No, I'm setting it at 20, and I'll go 23 passes.
Oh, see, I thought they were going to air it out a lot more. I mean, if they get a big, maybe not, but – I think they're going to try to show. They're not going to show everything, but
I think we're going to run a lot.
You think we're going to just build a huge lead and then just beat the shit out of them with C-Rod?
Yep, get Bo Allen in there, get him some reps.
Yeah, very well could. But
and I'm good with that. I like keeping because I just want to make sure we beat the fuck out of Missouri.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. You're trying to build confidence for the Missouri game. You don't want a bad taste in your mouth.
Yeah, you don't want to show everything to Missouri.
No, you don't. I mean, I've seen Kentucky play, like we talked about the last game, our last podcast, that they played Central Michigan the night before, or the week before they played Florida. I think they won like 27-15 or something.
Yep. Yeah,
and, it was a rough game. And it was horrible. I remember me and Mike did the podcast for that, the preview for that, and I was like, I think we talked about, do you think Florida's – I think we both picked Florida, and I think we said there's just no way that this team can beat them. Just because of the way they looked against Central Michigan. And plus that was the first year Dan Mullins was there. And you talk about, you know, Florida was trying to get back on track and just how bad Kentucky looked. And then they came back and played good. So that's the thing with Kentucky. They do play down to opponents. It's not something to ignore. But this is a pretty bad team. Does anyone know the last team that UL Martin or Monroe, sure, Louisiana Monroe won? And who the opponent was.
I'm going to cheat.
You can cheat? No, you can't cheat. Mike, you guess.
I'm going to cheat.
I'm going to cheat.
It's actually a really good team, actually. It's a really good team. Probably the best team in their conference.
God, they lost to some really bad teams last year. Coastal Carolina. Whoa.
Yeah, that was their last win. Coastal Carolina?
Yes.
Coastal Carolina was their last win?
That same year, they almost beat Florida State. They took them to overtime at Florida State.
There you go. They won. Wow. It was November 23rd. So that'd probably be, what, 2018 or 2019? 2019.
Yeah. That team is long gone.
Yeah, that team's way, 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 way gone. And obviously, Coastal Carolina's really good now for who they play. But yeah, that, I mean, that's the thing is that's the last time they've won a game. And so again, Kentucky really has a good opportunity here to showcase their offense a little bit and kind of get some confidence going to that Missouri game, because the Missouri game will be 100% capacity. And it will be, it'll be packed house. They're going to be ready to go. And that game will determine 9 or 8 wins.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
And then that's the low bar. I mean, that's what I'm saying. That's where if they beat Missouri, they're going to at least have 9 wins from the schedule I see.
Yep.
And so, because, I mean, if you take away the 3 hardest games are LSU, Florida, and Georgia. Right. So so if you lose all 3 of those and then win the rest of them, it's 9-3.
Get into some situational stuff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this, I'm just saying, this is how important that game 2 is. I mean, a September game 2 is that important to Kentucky season. And that's why this game is important to catapult that kind of confidence into that game.
If Louisiana Monroe wins, why?
If Louisiana Monroe wins, it's because Kentucky makes bonehead plays.
Yeah, we beat ourselves.
Got no pressure on the quarterback. Let's run all over us. It's and the offense just doesn't click.
And their quarterback gets the starting quarterback, Red Rodriguez, gets hurt in the back, and he's fucking amazing.
Right, yeah, that could happen too.
But, I can't even find who their backup is. They apparently have had so many transfers, and they're trying to keep it under wraps, so nobody knows like what to look for or anything like that. but I can't imagine that any of them would be that good.
Let's see here. Actually, I had
I think it's from the Patriots.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
Brian Hoyer. Brian Hoyer is
Brian Hoyer. No, Brian Hoyer is always going to be a Patriot.
They have. Let's see here. Here's their quarterbacks. They have a 6'4", 245 pound Colby Suits.
He was their starter last year. Yeah.
Yes. And he said he entered the transfer portal and it never left.
Because who would pick him up?
Exactly, 0-10 team, and then Jeremy Hunt is another big one.
No, so, another big one.
Well, another one for
size wise,
another big one for them. I mean, guys, we're not talking about a big offense here. Now, we'll tell you, Rich Rodriguez is going to bring a big offense there, I'm sure, eventually. But we're talking about an offense that their leading wide receiver was much like Kentucky's, where he had like 230 yards receiving yards and 2 touchdowns.
They're going to go just play balls out. Like, what do they have to lose? Rich Rodriguez is going to throw all over the place.
Oh, yeah. And why wouldn't you? Spread him out and see what you can do.
Yeah.
Let's get season, Cotton, see how it plays out for him.
That's the other thing, too. It's also a big game for our defensive line to kind of get a little confidence, too. Maybe we can find our pass rusher. I know that it's not going to be – it's going to be a lot different playing SEC team, but it's going to be, you know, maybe some guy will get confidence, get a couple sacks, you know.
Yeah.
Because again, I mean, our defense, we did lose a lot up front, but at the same time, I mean, I feel confident about our defensive line.
Yeah, especially the inside of our defensive line, I feel really confident about.
Well, hearing that McCall lost a bunch of weight, and he looks like he's in shape now. You know, Pascal's had a good spring.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's kind of things you like to hear before going into the season. They would say Ox dying, he's supposed to be a breakout year. They're saying they're having a really good spring.
Yeah, you're gonna be back up.
So,
Bobby Fitzgerald's going to start at that defensive tackle spot. Who is it? He's a friggin' monster. I've been waiting for him to get a chance to start because, my God, when we signed him, like, what, 5 years ago, just a giant.
Well, that's another one they raved high about in the spring. But, again, it's just – it's a confidence builder. This game is for. It's not for – there. I don't see any scenario that Louisiana Monroe wins. Unless there's just been some sort of major breakdown. But I'm sure Michigan fans were saying this back in, 2006, and they played Appalachian State, right? But
was Rich Rodriguez the coach?
What, at Michigan when that happened?
Yeah.
No, I think that was the last year of Lloyd. Lloyd okay. Carr.
Fired, yeah.
Because that led to his getting fired. Yeah. but – no, I think Kentucky's going to look fine. I think the offense sounds like it's going to be – good for Kentucky, a lot of play action, which Kentucky's been desperately missing.
Yeah.
So you know, it's just a tune-up game, guys. And that's what I
do think. Do you think Kentucky is kind of getting the weeds here? I think they're going to be typical Mark Stoops teams. The last 7 minutes of the second quarter. And I think that's when ULM is going to score probably 10 points.
Well, maybe. But the thing is this is the time where Cohen needs to step up and say, let me do the offense. And yeah. I know it's hard to say to someone like Stoops who notoriously takes over the offense and makes them take the air out of it and stop, you know, try to run the clock out. But Stoops needs to stay off the offense and let him call the game.
He brought Cohen in for a reason, right?
Exactly.
Paid him all that money for a reason.
And a lot of people think Cohen's a future NFL guy. So, I mean,
I definitely think he's not going to be here for a couple of years because he's probably looking to go be either a head coach or go back to the NFL as an offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But you bring him in here because he brings the pedigree of I'm an NFL, you know, coach. I know what it takes to be in the NFL. And that's what that's how you get recruits here, man.
Oh yeah.
You know, this is what it takes to be in the NFL.
And he'll utilize your receivers and quarterbacks and really won't make
it tight ends, running backs.
Well, you just set a base here. Just like Kentucky did with Matt House and then moving. That's the natural progression. You want the next coordinator to kind of build on what the last one left off of. So, and I think Stoops hit a home run higher with him. Now, it might turn out to be wrong, but I think as of right now, home run higher.
I'm very hopeful for the future.
I think we all should be.
Yeah.
So, but.
Cautiously optimistic.
Well, it's. Remember that. One loss, all the fans are going to be gone. You're right. So.
So, who is going to be the offensive MVP?
Well, for me. Go ahead, Mike. Who you got?
For tomorrow, I think it's going to be Will Levis.
Well, they're playing tomorrow, but they're playing Saturday. Now, I'll tell you who is playing tomorrow. I'll tell you who is playing tomorrow, and that's Tennessee, and they're going to lose.
Tennessee plays tomorrow.
They do.
Yeah. How bad have you gotten that you put your first games down on a Thursday?
Oh, Kentucky's got a Thursday game this year. Just take it easy.
No, no. First game of the season.
We don't have a Thursday game. I don't think so, bro. I love Thursday games. I wish they would do a Thursday game.
I'm all for Thursday games.
I love Thursday games.
A Thursday game? That's pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, for Tennessee to kick it off. Plus, they're playing Bowling Green. I think they're only like a 10-point favorite.
And they'll probably lose it.
I'm going to go and tell you. I'm going to go ahead and say it. I think they're going to lose, but maybe I'm wrong on that, but I think they're going to lose.
I think the hot bet's Bowling Green with the points.
I would just take Bowling Green straight up. Straight up money line, man.
I stand corrected. No Thursday games this year.
No, that's a good. Kentucky had a Thursday game since we played Cam Newton and Auburn. I'll put bets on that, too. Mike was there, too. That was the last Thursday game.
I mean, it wasn't fun then, but it was a fun game.
Yeah, that was
that was a fun game.
I was toasted.
Damn.
I was toasted.
Did like, not stop him.
Yeah, and then Cam just like fell forward for 10 yards every play.
Pretty much. I mean, he was a hell of a football player for the 1 year he was at Auburn. He was pretty fun to watch. He's some pretty good guys go through Kentucky, but I still think Tebow was a hell of a college football player, I will say, that I've seen in person.
Just a winner. Just a winner. And wow, have we strayed off track. My offensive MVP – I'm going to take the easy way out and go see Rod.
Who'd you go with, Mike?
I went with Levis.
I'm going to go with Levis, too, because I think like, again, he needs a big game. He needs a big game to get people, you know, confident about him.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you still got these Bo Allen people, which I understand he's a local kid. And you still, for some reason, we still have these Terry Wilson people that comment every chance they get about Terry Wilson. I just don't
hear anymore.
Yeah, exactly. I'm tired of hearing the guys that aren't here. I mean, there's that the Terry Wilson, not taking nothing away from the guy. He won a lot of games and stuff, but he was also a part of a lot of historic defenses for Kentucky. And he also had a guy that was a historic player for us with Lynn Bowden. So in the 1 year he didn't have
and Benny Snell.
Yeah, exactly. And in the 1 year he didn't have Lynn Bowden, he wasn't very good. So
I think there is a big asterisk next to any criticism of him because of how just terrible Eddie Grant's offense.
Oh yeah, I think that has a lot to do with his performance. Of course, I think that's a fair assessment. But I think Levis is like, to what I've seen so far, is more of a quarterback that we're looking for than Terry Wilson. Maybe Terry Wilson will go off and do a good job down in New Mexico. I don't know, but I'm just New Mexico in it.
Yeah,
and so good luck to him. But I'm fully confident in Levis.
Yeah, I'm happier with their quarterback situation, but more happy with the offensive coordinator situation.
Yeah,
because I think that meant so bad dealing with an offensive coordinator who just wouldn't throw the fucking ball, but by not throwing the ball, he couldn't recruit anybody worth a damn. So,
yeah, I mean the receiving core was pretty bad. Underneath him, and it's hard to be a quarterback when you have that. Well, I mean, the wide receivers underneath, like, I would say Terry Wilson was better than Steven Johnson, but that made him look better because they had, you know, Bidette, they had Juice, they had, you know, even Dorian Baker, and it helped him out. And I think if Terry Wilson had that kind of wide receiver core, he probably would have had a lot better of a year, you know.
Yeah.
So
Terry Wilson plays Houston Baptist tomorrow night at 8.
Well, do you watch it if you can?
I'm going to.
Oh, you're going to?
Oh,
I won't be watching it.
I want a 5-page report on it tomorrow morning or Friday morning on my desk.
There you go.
Do you have a desk?
No, I don't.
Does anyone remember?
Son of a bitch.
Do you know who played? Do you know Houston Baptist or whatever played Oklahoma pretty damn good last year?
I didn't even know they had a team.
Yes, they did. It was a shootout. It was like a 56-42 game.
Jeez.
Yeah, it was a pretty, because I almost took it because it was like a 30-point spread or something like that. For obvious reasons, any team that's named Houston Baptist, you're thinking you're either a high school team or you're a D3 school. So that was like a 30-point spread, and we were down at the lake last year for Boys Weekend. And that's why I remember it, because I almost betted it. Yeah, there you go. Let's mix it all together, right? So, but anyways, that's we're getting off track again. But who y'all got on defense in?
Ooh, Mike. Defense, huh? I'm going to go Pascal. I think Pascal's due for a big year. If you remember before he got cancer, he was looking really good. And then he got cancer. I feel like he's finally back to 100%. I'm excited for the guy.
I'll take Square. I think he's going to have a good game. He needs to have a big season.
I am going to go Jordan Wright.
I like that pick. I think
he's been waiting for that potential to finally show. He's had some huge moments, big playmaker at times.
Yeah, absolute ball.
He's got to put it together.
Any word on if Weaver's going to play?
He is. Full go, but not 100%.
I called it, Mike. Mike, you remember, right? Chris said we weren't going to be here first game. I said, well, we'll see.
Yeah,
right. I think he's going to play a very small amount of snaps.
Play a few snaps just to get the flow.
Well, he needs to have a flow because we need him from Missouri. I mean, yeah. The other day, I'd rather him not play and get 100% for Missouri.
I mean, yeah, if we don't win this game because of J.J. Weaver not playing, then we probably aren't going to win this
game. Yeah, we're not going to beat Missouri. Yeah, you're right. I will say this, a little nitbit for – I know we're getting kind of ahead of ourselves because we still have a game on Saturday, but some asshole on Twitter from Missouri talked shit to me April 14th of this year. I bookmarked it, and I will be revisiting that when this happens. I put it, and I was looking at my calendar, and I was like, I went to next week's game, and I clicked on it, and there's a note there that says "asshole from Missouri, April 14th."
Love that. How dumb are you gonna feel if we get smoked?
If we, I'll erase it out of my phone
and make fun of.
Never happened. Never happened.
Now I will tell you this, and this is the funniest thing ever. Last year there was this South Carolina guy that ran his mouth to me before the season, and I said, when Kentucky plays South Carolina next year, not only will they beat the shit out of South Carolina, but what's his name, Muschamp, won't even be their coach. He said, bullshit, South Carolina's going to be 4-9-3. I said what do you want to bet on that? He said, a bottle of bourbon. And I said, and he said something about he'll get off Twitter if Kentucky beats him. And I told him they were going to beat him by 3 touchdowns. And I had forgotten about it. And some other guy remembered and said, "Hey, bro, time to sign off Twitter." And I was driving home. And I was driving home from that game. Yeah, someone put that on there. I thought it was so funny that some dude was this like creeping on the conversation. Didn't he wasn't even engaged in it, but he remembered it and made sure he messaged the guy.
That's funny.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And the guy, of course, was like, "Oh, yeah, that was, you know, whatever." And I, of course, you know, I chimed in because I'm an asshole like that. And I will remember that Missouri guy because that asshole thinks that Missouri, even though they had the ball for the whole game last year and only won by like 14, they think that they're going to all of a sudden, you know, if Kentucky just has a little bit of offense this year, they're going to beat the shit out of them.
Yeah.
They beat fucking Missouri, what, 5 out of 6 years now?
Yeah. I mean, same with South Carolina.
I mean, come on. I mean, let's stop the tomfoolery.
So delusional. So fucking delusional.
Everybody's looking for an excuse to say, "Oh, same old Kentucky."
That's why everyone's picking. Now, that was, you know, what's kind of pissing me off, though, a little bit, is Kentucky. I've seen these people come out with predictions. And this is when I you will lose full. If you come out with a prediction like this, with us losing to South Carolina, I will totally say that you have no credit. I mean, I'm not giving you any
credibility.
There you go. No credibility whatsoever, because if you pay attention to what's going on in South Carolina right now, there's no one in their right fucking mind that's going to pick South Carolina to even win 3 games, let alone beat Kentucky.
Vegas has them at one of the two.
Does Vegas realize that they're starting to intern as their quarterback?
Most prognosticators have them beating Kentucky.
I'm not believing it. Not with an intern quarterback.
I looked it up the other day because I was having this conversation with one of the guys I work with.
Intern at quarterback. We'll never believe it.
Yeah, graduate assistant. Yep. Love that.
So there you go. We'll wait for that game.
I don't feel like those procrastinators are going to change their prediction halfway through the season.
Kentucky always gets the 7 or 6 win type of totals, but I've been seeing a lot of people picking a second in the East, which is good to see. Yeah. I mean, big name guys picking Kentucky second in the East. So, I mean,
what are we going with for scores?
I'm going to go ahead and say I think Kentucky's going to win like 40. I don't remember what I picked last week, but I'm going to say they're probably going to win 49-0.
I'm going to go
56-14.
They get a couple garbage points at the end.
I don't think Kentucky gets any. I don't think Kentucky gives up anything.
I think we win 38-14.
So you're saying we're going to take the air out of the ball?
Yeah.
I can tell you something. I don't think it matters. We're going to take the air out of the ball or throw the ball, bring a punter in there and throw the ball. I don't think it's going to matter. I think it's, at the end of the day, it's going to be the Kentucky's going to do whatever the hell they want up front. Kentucky's getting offensive line. The Kentucky has an offensive line now that's just consistently can push people around. So
I think Kentucky's going to be up 31-0 at the half. And in
garbage time,
ULM's going to get a couple touchdowns, and Kentucky's going to have, you know, a bunch of their sophomores and freshmen in.
If Kentucky goes into the fourth quarter without giving up a point, they're going to play really hard to keep a shutout. I'm going to tell you that right now. I've seen it before, even with the backups. So
I'm also predicting for a touchdown this game, just letting y'all know.
Huh?
Kickoff return for a touchdown.
Nah, it's a little premature. I think more realistic one is an interception return for a touchdown, just because Rich Rodriguez throws it so much.
No, I agree with you, but I'm telling you, we're going to have a kickoff return for a touchdown. Opening off. If we get the ball, we're going to return it all the way for a touchdown, because everybody's so excited to see Will Levis, and we're just going to return.
It's Zach Johnson, and he's a super solid special teams player who's really fast, but he is the prototypical Mark Stoops
to be very safe with the ball
and make smart decisions.
If you remember Charles Walker returned it down.
Well, all I gotta say is if they bring the guy with the backwards hat back, maybe we will get one returned back. I can't believe somebody hired him from us, like took him off our hands. It's like, bye.
He left us for somebody else.
Thank God.
I know. Like he steers. He made one good play. It was against like Georgia or something like that. It was like, remember, like Mike, it was like a really high kick.
High kick off, like offensive lineman fumbled it.
Yeah, and it was like, then he kept doing it. He kept doing it over and over. He was like, stop giving them good field position.
Like, put the running back there.
Oh, what was his name? Craig.
Douchebag.
maybe.
He had sweatbands and everything, man. He was Craig all
something.
About it.
Craig something, yeah.
He was all about it.
The kind of John Cena, average middleweight John Cena.
Yeah, he did. He was going for that look.
Yeah.
But no, that was epically bad.
Yeah, that did suck.
I mean, I just can't. I'll never forget that. It was Georgia, wasn't it, Mike? He did it, and it worked. And then he just kept doing it. And then it was like all they were doing was fair catching it at like the 30. I was like, bro, stop doing that.
Surprised anymore?
Huh?
They're not surprised anymore. Was it Craig Skinner?
Yeah, no kidding. It was like they're not surprised anymore. But who's going to be the first? Okay. This last thing, and we'll wrap this up. Who will have the first touchdown of the season?
C-Rod.
Okay. Mike?
Ali.
Ooh. I'm going Robinson.
Ooh, I like that pick too.
I think Robinson's going to get like a little 10-yard pass.
I think we're going to throw for
He's
the
first. Take it.
I'm going to throw that out there.
What now?
You talking first about Wandale?
Up? Yeah.
I don't know if you're talking about Wandale or Devontae on
Good
defense.
Point. Good point, Christopher.
Ooh. Good point. I tell you what, I'm all for Devontae Robinson first touchdown.
I'd place that prop bet. I would do that. I wouldn't win.
Your bucks on that.
If you're going to go that route, you might as well say McCall's going to pick up a fumble for a touchdown. I mean, they're going to have the same kind of stats.
Whoa, that's nuts.
How great would it be at the first turn the McCall touchdown and Robinson touchdown?
Well, I just don't tell you that it's going to be like a little 10-yard pass. He's going to take it to the house.
I think Nick's right. But I definitely think it's going to be a throw.
They're going to make sure it's a throw.
Half yard line, they're going to throw the ball.
Yeah.
I don't know. Liam Cohen in his interview this week said, you know, we're going to throw the ball, but we're still going to do what Kentucky does.
Or it's going to be
– Which is run the ball. Yeah, I get it. I mean, you got to have established – and it seems like in his offense, you got to establish a run. I mean, even if you look at
– It's all about the
play action, baby.
If you look at St. Louis Rams, they were good because Todd Gurley was good. It makes it a lot easier. So,
can I take my pick back? I think I know who it's going to be.
Cummings.
I don't know, man.
He likes his tight ends, dude. I think that's a great move for him.
If Upshaw was there, I can get on board with that. It's gonna be a big time run, like a handoff going 40 yards, or it's gonna be, like I say, Wandale Robinson catching a ball and going the yard. You know what I mean? I'm seeing it in my head right now. I'm visualizing it.
Pretty excited about all the positive Kvassie Smoke talk this week. Yeah. He's finally healthy this offseason.
Well, good. I hope he stays healthy. It's obviously that the headaches thing's a problem, man.
Oh yeah, man. You don't want to fuck with head stuff too.
No, I mean, see, that's long term problem. Yeah. I'm glad to see it. I am.
Yeah, absolutely.
But anyways, I'm excited. Finally game one, and hopefully my picks pan out and yours don't. So I can kind of before we sign off, what is the one game this week that you are looking forward to the most outside of Kentucky?
The other week is Georgia beats Clemson.
That's your lock of the week, huh?
That's my upset pick.
I think what I'm actually looking forward to, and I can't believe I'm going to say this for second straight week, is a Big Ten game, and it's Indiana. Indiana, they're really fun to watch last year, but they're underdog in their game.
I saw it. Hear me out on this Georgia Clemson pick. Clemson's quarterback who came in while Trevor Lawrence was out couldn't beat another Dame team who really wasn't that fucking good.
Dude, Clemson's going to reload. I'm just telling you.
Reload, but they lost a lot of people, man.
I'm just telling you, bro. You see that 2.5-point favorite for Clemson, and you want to eat all over it and take Georgia. But I'm telling you, it's just like Alabama. Like when Alabama's playing Miami this week, right? And they're like a 16-point favorite, right?
Right.
And you want to take Miami because you're like, no way they can win by 16 points. And then Alabama blows them the hell out.
I'm calling right now. Georgia's got to go ahead and take it to the bank, along with the Bully McCall picks of the.
Well, we'll see. Chris, what do you got? Anything?
I'm really looking forward to Louisville playing Ole Miss.
That should be a fun game.
It's not going to be fun. It's going to be fun if you hate Louisville.
It's going to be fun. Ole Miss is going to beat the fuck out
That's,
of them.
I just want Ole Miss to hang like 63 fucking points on Louisville.
They might.
And Louisville
they
to score like 7. So, again, prognosticators and Louisville fans can understand
what a shit show that program is.
Well, I mean, they can. I mean, that's and TJ's going to be there. Our buddy TJ's going to be there. So, there you go.
I hope that happens and Satterfield goes and applies to coach somewhere else again.
Satterfield's looking for the next – Satterfield's looking for a lateral job that doesn't involve having to play Clemson like South Carolina would have to every year. So, that's, that probably was a bad pick for him. So, that's probably why he packed out of there. I think if North Carolina would offer him today, he'd take it.
Yeah, I think you're
North
right.
North Carolina, he ain't going to North Carolina. They're not getting rid of Mac Brown.
No, they're not. I'm just saying he wants to be in that. He wants to be in the Carolina zone. That's where he's from. I could also see him going like NC State or somewhere like that. I'm just telling you, the guy's looking for. He doesn't care about. He's not going to go down. He's not going to downgrade. He's not going to go below Louisville, but he's totally okay with going lateral.
Yeah.
I mean, he is. He's totally. I mean, if you're debating on taking a South Carolina job, you're okay going lateral. And that's not because I don't think South Carolina's a much better program than Louisville, and they have it much easier to recruit there. But South Carolina has to play. If you're willing to leave Louisville and play Florida, Georgia, Clemson, guaranteed every year. And I think who's their West team every year they play? Isn't it like Auburn or something like that?
Yes.
And you're guaranteed to play those teams every year. God dang. Good luck.
Four guaranteed losses every year.
I mean, pretty much. Well, because I mean, Kentucky's been handling, but I'm just saying, like, you're every good player in your state's gonna go to Clemson. And then you get leftovers. And that's just the way it goes for them. You know, it used to be different when Steve Spurrier was there and a few years after Steve Spurrier, but now it's all Clemson there. If you're a kid around there, they want to go to Clemson. So, but anyway, we're digressing again. So, we're gonna get the hell off here. So, anyways, I'm Nick.
I'm Mike.
I'm Chris. Go Big Blue.